Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
Friends, I'm going to be preaching to myself this morning. If it does apply to you, maybe you can take it. Is that okay? Is that all right, Johan? I'll be preaching to myself this morning. Who have you been enjoying what God's been doing? I know a lot of you have been saying it. But what we learned over the last 2 weeks is we learned this. We learned the first thing is that Habakkuk, his name means to embrace, and his name means to wrestle. Remember that. And we learned that if you walk with God, there's times that you're going to wonder, God, where are you? There's times that you're not going to understand where God is and what he's doing. There's times that you're going to look and you're going to say, but my enemies are doing so well and why am I doing so bad? Does anyone know what that feels like? There's times where you're going to pray and you're not going to get the answer immediately. There's times that you're going to need breakthrough and you're not going to find it. And Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets. We know that Habakkuk actually, he spoke more to God about the people. He didn't really speak to the people. He saw how he had this crisis of belief. And we learned in the first week that if you have a crisis of belief, you mustn't run away from God, and you must also not deny the reality, but you need to press deeper into God. Remember that? Last week, we saw the power of being able to wait, because the Bible says, Habakkuk actually says, he says, when you walk by faith, you need to know that God is not a liar. Whatever he promised, he's going to do. And he says, though it lingers, wait for it. Don't give up, wait for it. Remember that? And we saw that waiting is such a powerful thing, and that most people give up before the breakthrough happens. I'm here to say that today we're going to come to chapter 3, and I used to read fast through 1 and 2 so that I can get to chapter 3. Because I didn't like chapter 1 and 2. Because chapter 1, he's complaining. Chapter 2, he's 3. It feels like he shifts the gear and he presses the reset button. Can you say reset? I'm here to say that I believe believers need to learn how to press the reset button. You need to learn how to press the reset button upon the confusion that you're facing. You need to learn how to press the reset button upon the discouragement that you're feeling. And I believe that Habakkuk gives us the answer, because he finds himself in a place of trusting God even though there was some confusion. He's finding himself in a place of embracing God even though he was unsettled. He's embracing God. I believe the most passionate praise is the praise, friends, the most passionate praise is the praise not after the provision, but before the provision. It's amazing for me how most people say, I will trust God when he comes through. I will start praising him. I will start even praising him and giving him finances when he gives me a raise. Could I say that that is low-level praise? Low-level praise is, God, I'll wait for you and then I'll do. I'll wait for you and then I'll thank you. How about thanking God while I'm waiting for the breakthrough? How about thanking God before I see the miracle? How about thanking God while I'm going around the walls of Jericho and I'm saying, Lord, I cannot see it, but I'm going to give you praise. I cannot see the breakthrough, but I'm going to trust you. God, I do not understand, but I'm going to praise you, because my praise is not determined by what I see. My praise is determined by what I know in Jesus' name. I've learned that if your praise is dependent upon what God does, exposure and opportunity to praise. I believe our praise should be determined by who God is. I think people are praising God too much, and this is Mark Bailey, that's why I'm preaching to me. I think people praise God too much for what God does. And here's the awesome thing, God does a lot, and he has done a lot. That we're always going to praise God for what he does. We're always going to be able to give him praise for the breakthroughs. We're always going to be able to give him thanks for the cross. Oh, the cross, what he did for us on the cross. Woo! The price he paid for our lives, wow. The way he loved us first, wow. The way he defeated death for us, wow. What God did for us. He says, by his stripes we were healed. Man, what Jesus did. We've got reason to praise. But more than what he did, we have reason to praise for who he is. Amen. The bottom of my heart, from the heart of God, I believe. Can you learn how to get to know God at another level so that you can praise him for who he is and not just for what he does? I'm thinking of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, and I'm thinking about them being locked up, them being beaten, them being shackled, and they're limited. And I'm looking at Paul and Silas, and I'm thinking to myself, if there ever was a reason to complain, that was it. I mean, you're looking at someone that likes complaining. Is that rubbish, baby? Okay, I complain. Maybe I just don't like the times that I do complain. I complained a lot yesterday. Can I confess? So anyway, I don't like complaining, but I complain. And you know what I saw? God showed me this. Praise gives energy. This is powerful. The reason why the media is so powerful is because it unlocks negativity and complaints. The reason why the devil is having a field day in your mind is because he's unlocking complaints and he's unlocking negativity. And when you complain about your kids and you complain about your wife and you complain about your house and you complain about the school your kids go to and you complain about the new education system, which I believe we need to be able to make a stand, but the truth be told is complaining changes nothing. Paul and Silas have reason to complain. They did not even get themselves into prison. Some of us, we should have been in prison. We were just not caught. Paul and Silas did the right thing. They're preaching the gospel. Instead of complaining and saying, oh God, but you know, we're serving you, and God, where are you? And God, why didn't you come through for us? And why didn't you stop them, God? And God, where are you, God? No. They say at midnight, they praised God. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known in wrath. Remember mercy. I love Habakkuk. He's saying, Lord, what I'm seeing is not lining up with what I know. The Babylonians, you've actually given the Babylonians opportunity to do stuff that I'm not even comfortable with, Lord. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing what I believe. And I'm asking you, Lord, what you've done in the past because of who you are and because of what you've done, I pray that you'll do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountain. You know that? I can't sing it. I know what's going on with my voice. And I believe. I see you. But listen, something needs to shift. I've seen you move rain. I've seen you move the mountains. I've seen it. And if you've done it before, you can do it again. If you made a way in the wilderness, you can do it again. If you open up the Red Sea, you can do it again, God. Lord, if you restored in the past, you can restore again. Lord, if you provided in the past, you can provide again, Lord. I'm not seeing it right now, but I'm looking at your track record. And you have a track record, God. You are faithful. You are holy. You are just. You are kind. You are gracious. You are compassionate. I know you can do it, God, because you've done it before. I'll see it again. When you're in the valley, there's two things that you need to do. Number one, you need to remember. And number two, you need to embrace. Just two things I'm going to share this morning. Remember and embrace. You know what? I believe believers have spiritual Alzheimer's. They forget. I forget. I forget what God has done. I forget who God is. I forget who God is. I forget God's faithfulness. I forget his goodness. I love how we sang it this morning. God is so good. I'm thinking, what? God is good. Verse 3 of Habakkuk 3 says, God came from Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Isn't that awesome? Remember what happened with Israel. Israel had their backs against the Red Sea and their enemies were pursuing them. They had no way out, and God says, whoa, I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm asking you, have you ever faced a situation in your life where you thought there's no way out of this? I see three hands. The rest of you, one day it'll happen to you, no problem. And you know what I love? I love how God made a way for them in the Red Sea. It says in verse 4, his splendor was like the sunrise. Oh, I love this. You know, I love how Habakkuk, he's prophesying, and he's actually prophesying into our lives. And he's saying, you need to know this about God, is that his splendor, Mark, is like the sunrise. You know what I love about the sun? The sun is going to come up again tomorrow morning. The night, joy comes in the morning. As surely as I live, I will see the sunrise tomorrow. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. I love that old song. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I seek. All I have needed, though, your hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The sun is consistent. That's how God is. Consistent. He will always rise upon us. Rays flashed from his hand. Where his power was hidden, plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and he shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. Isn't that amazing? Habakkuk is busy praising God. The first two verses, he's busy wrestling with God, but now he's embracing. He's saying, God, you big. God, you good. God, you consistent. God, any enemy that comes, you are just. You are majestic. God, you are so awesome. That's what Habakkuk is busy doing. Right until verse 15, he just goes for it. And in Psalm 16, verse 11, I love this verse. This is my life verse. Can I give you one of my life verses? It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know what? We need the presence of God every single day. Why? Because I believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we go through the valley, we need to remember. Remember, for me, speaks of rejoicing, revisiting who God is, revisiting, rejoicing about what God has done. Remember who God is. That's why Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. And then it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Do you know what God said to me? He said, when I rejoice. And then it says, the Lord is near. That means when I get gentle, I experience him. Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. If you are sitting and you're saying, God, I feel far from you and I feel like you are not connected, I'm here to say, start remembering who he is. Remember who he is. Remember what he's done. And you'll experience him close to you. Can I get an amen? A woman or a something? Listen, friends, the Israelites, they forgot who God was. They forgot that he gave them 10 plagues. They forgot that God opened the Red Sea. They forgot the bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. They forgot the cloud by day and the fire by night. Elijah got food from ravens. I've had people sit with me and say, Mark, my whole industry is dead, but God's providing for me. It's like, wow. Water from a rock. They were thirsty. God gave them water from a rock. Isn't that amazing? Fire came down from heaven when Elijah prayed, and fire consumed the sacrifice in 1 Kings 18. I want to ask you, for if God could do it for Elijah, how much more can God do it for you? If God could do it for Elijah that had an old covenant that did not have Jesus Christ dying on the cross yet, did not have the veil torn from top to bottom yet, did not have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead already in him. The Spirit of God was on them, but they were not in them. Why? Because they were not yet one with Christ. Old Testament. He was a man like you and me. If God could let the sun stand still for Joshua. Sean, how much more? How much more How much more can he not let the sun stand still for us? Of lions. How much more can he not do it for us? You know, lions, for me, are like accusers. Ha, 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 ha. Justin? The enemy sometimes goes like a roaring lion. Not he isn't one, but he likes one. To accuse. If he could, like we've been singing this song the last 3 weeks, if he could save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, he could be there with them in the fire, how much more with us? If he could raise Lazarus from the dead, what about our dead situations? I've got my Thanksgiving jar yet today. Who have you been enjoying your Thanksgiving jar? Some of you are going to be like, oh, I forgot I had one. We gave this out in the beginning of the year. Remember that? And I've been slow to write. You can see my writing is like limited. To start writing down what God does in your life. So start writing down what God, who God reveals to you he is. Start writing down who God is in your life. Start writing it down and putting it in a place where you can reference it. Either in a book or maybe in a bottle. But you need to write down. Remember we spoke last week? You listen, write. Remember that? And wait. Listen, write, and wait. And Billy said so powerfully, run with what God reveals. Why? Because when God says something and when he reveals and when he does something and we forget, we can go and say, Lord, wow, look at what you did. Wow, Lord, look at what you did with John Mark and his eye. Wow, Jesus. Lord, wow, look at how you break through in the anointing in my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for Joshua. Wow, Joshua he preached at the youth the other day. Thank you, Jesus. I wrote this stuff down. I can remember that God had come through for me in the past. This come through for me today. Amen. I'll never forget this. 2014, I was going to give up. 2014. Some of you know, I was sitting on my kitchen floor. This was a boomalar, like a tramp. I was ready to SMS the elders. Guys, I'm leaving. I don't know who's preaching today, but it's not me. Told my wife, go to church. I don't know if I'm coming. I was ready to give up. Now, don't put your hand up, but have you ever been ready to give up? I was ready to say, it's enough, enough. I don't have the strength anymore. I don't want to anymore. I don't want to. God, take me now. I felt like Moses. Just kill me, Jesus. Jesus, by his grace, empowered me to get up from that floor. I went to church, and you won't believe what happened. The day that I choose to just, Lord, I'm going to pull myself into this and by your spirit, I'm going to do it because I didn't have the strength. 5 years ago, I'm ready to give up. A friend of mine decides to come from Joburg and he brings a guy that got saved and he got set free from drug addiction. And I see how someone in front of my eyes testifies about how Jesus changed their lives and how they were bound in addiction and how they are free today. And I'm sitting in the front row and I'm weeping and I'm saying, Jesus, I want to give up. I want to run away, but look at what you do. I want to be part of what you do, God. I remember being in such a hole that I felt depressed. I felt discouraged. I felt like I'm worthless. My wife said to me, listen, baby, what's wrong with you? I was in the mood for nothing. Just wanted to run away. And Jesus picked me up. And I went from having the worst year of my life, 2014, to having one of the best years of my life in 2015. I still don't understand how God did it. But one thing I know is that the same God that picked me up from my kitchen floor in August 2014 is the same God that is involved with my life today. And if he could do it yesterday, he's going to do it for me again. Amen. The second thing is we need to embrace. In Habakkuk, he feels like he's obviously at the end of himself. And he remembers verse 20, where God speaks to him and reveals his heart to him. And Habakkuk writes this, he says, "But you, O God, you're still on the throne. Lord, what I'm seeing and what I know are not the same, but it doesn't change the truth. You are still on the throne, God." And what Habakkuk does, he doesn't just engage in a superficial state of denial and says, "Oh no, nothing's happening. I'm just going to make as if nothing's happening." No, he's embracing God in the midst of the pain. And he says, "I'm going to still trust God." And that's what Ursula read this morning. Says she read this. It was at verse 17, says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls." I'm amazed at how Habakkuk goes into detail about what he's lacking. He's going into detail about these circumstances that are desperate. And you might say to me, "But Mark, I don't have sheep, so I don't have to worry. Or my name is not Len or Uli, so I don't have cattle, so I don't have to worry." I'm here to say to you, those cattle could be your family. There might be restoration needed in your friendships. This might be your health. This might be your workplace. This might be a place of desperation. And Habakkuk's looking at this and he's saying, "I'm not denying it. It's not good. Things are not good. 2014, I got up off the kitchen floor. Nothing changed. I still need, my salary was still 4 months behind. Nothing. But I changed. Nothing changed around me, but I changed. God did something in me, Tumelo. God did something. God does something in us before he does something around us." Listen to what he does in verse 18. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, the God of my Savior, God my Savior." I love this. I love how he says, "You know what? I learned that I need strength when I'm facing these things. And the only place I'm going to find strength is not in complaining, but it's in rejoicing. It's in remembering. It's in revisiting. It's in focusing on my God." And like Heinz said, he said, it's not about looking at the circumstances. They are still there. I need to look at my God, who never leaves me nor forsakes me. My God that is gracious and compassionate. My God that is faithful and true. My God that loves me. And yes, even though everything happens bad around me, my God is still the same. Forget I was 11 years old when I was exposed to this verse, verse 17 to 19, the first time in my life. I was 11 and I was at school and I made a song with these verses. I didn't really know God. I mean, I knew about God. My parents sent us to Sunday school. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And I remember as an 11-year-old having an encounter with God and not knowing who I'm having an encounter with. I remember singing these verses and saying, "Though the fig tree doesn't blossom and though there's nothing's going my way, yet will I rejoice." And I remember weeping as an 11-year-old boy at school with my school clothes on and singing the song and saying, something shifted, something leapt in my heart. And I realized, I don't understand this God. I don't know this God. But man, he's good. He must be good, because even though things bad happens, God is still good. God is still with me. He's still faithful. Business of heaven. And the world is broken, friends. I know there's human trafficking, there's education issues. The world is broken. Our children are suffering. Some people are still sick after they've prayed. Some marriages are still in shambles. Some people are still trusting for financial breakthrough. I'm not saying there's an easy fix. Some people still need a job, like Billy prayed this morning. You're going to leave here and you still need a job. But I'm here to say that in the hallway, on your way to the breakthrough, can you change your perspective? Can you look at your God? Look at his faithfulness. There's many reasons not to rejoice. But I believe there's way more reasons to rejoice. Amen? I can still trust my God. Sam Storms said the following. He said this, "Joy is not necessarily the absence of Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering." I prayed this week for someone and really trusting God for their health. and they can only see the doctor later. Now I'm thinking there's pain involved, and I'm saying, Lord, I want you to immediately do a miracle. I trusted God for that, and I'm still trusting God. But I'm saying, God, I thank you that her joy is not dependent upon the breakthrough. Her joy is dependent upon you. Because joy is found in the presence of God. You know, friends, usually when I go to the gym, I don't go to the gym much because I run on the road. But when I go to the gym, because I like steaming there like a Lonnie boy, I go to the gym and I like steaming there. Tumelo, I've seen you at the gym. I see, that's why your shirts are getting tight. Eh? So, I go to the gym, and when I go into the locker room, I pray. I go into the locker room and I say, Lord, what psalm do you want me to memorize today and meditate on today? Is it Psalm 44? Then I take locker 44. Is it Psalm 78? Then I go and find locker 78. And the Lord's been leading me the last month to Psalm 8, to locker 8. And then I've been meditating on Psalm 8. You know what Psalm 8 says? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Then it says, listen to what verse 2 says. I love this. It says this. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I said, what? I've been meditating on this. Watch this. Through the praise. How does God establish a stronghold? Through, watch this. Through praise. What is a stronghold? I went to go and studied it in the dictionary. A stronghold is a safe place. A place of protection. A place where God protects us. It's when, you know, God is our stronghold. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Can I show you this? That if you want to be safe in God and you want to hide yourself in God in the midst of your biggest trial, in the midst of your biggest darkness, if you need hope in the dark, I'm here to say to you, there's a fortress, and the fortress is called praise. Praise, God establishes a stronghold through your praise against all your enemies. Watch this. I said, Lord, I've seen that word stronghold before. And I said, Lord, it's the series is Hope in the Dark. Can I land with this? It's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. Return to the stronghold. How do we return to the stronghold? Okay, thank you, Yolandi. You're listening. All of the others, just Yolandi will give you I'm just joking. Listen to this. How do I return to the stronghold? Praise. When I'm feeling down, praise. When I don't understand, praise. When things don't go my way, praise. When the bank account is empty, praise. When the pain comes, praise. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let's praise Him now. Can we praise Him? Praise Him. Praise Him. I praise you, Lord. We need a stronghold. We need a safe place. We need the presence of God. It's found in praise. Watch this. You prisoners of hope. Hope is not an option. Hope is a guarantee. When you're in the when you're in the stronghold, you are tied to hope. Hope is tied to you. You are bound to hope. You are connected to hope. You're a prisoner of hope. I cannot but be hopeful. Yes, the country is difficult. Yes, education issues, but I'm hopeful. Why? Prisoner of praise. Listen to what God says. That I will restore double to you. I'm sorry for going crazy. People, I don't know. Don't know what happened to me. But I'm here to say that I believe that there's something that God wants to unlock in your life God wants to give you hope in the darkness. He wants you to be a prisoner of hope. No other options. I only have one option, is hope. Why? Because I'm in the stronghold of Jesus Christ. Praise is my stronghold. Praise establishes my stronghold. And God restores double to me. Double. Verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. See, when I rejoice, this is powerful. When I rejoice, he becomes my strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It says, he makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Isn't that awesome? I believe like never before. If you're far from God here, God called you here today for such a time as this. If you say, but I don't know him, I'm here to say to you, just like an 11-year-old boy, I knew there was a God because I had an encounter with him even though I didn't know him. And today he wants to save your life. He wants to take you out of darkness and into marvelous light. He wants to set you free from sin. He wants to set you free from eternal death. He wants to give you eternal life today. But if you're close to God today, I want to ask you to become a prisoner of hope. I want to ask you to establish a stronghold. Let God establish a stronghold as you praise. Can we close our eyes? Lord Jesus, today, I pray that no one heard what a man has to say, but that we hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Oh, Lord, we need hope. All of us need hope in some area of our lives. For some of us, Lord, it's our family. For some of us, it's our work situation. For others, Lord, it's our health, Lord. But there's hope needed. And today, you want to make us prisoners of hope. We'll return to the stronghold today.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Thank you for investing this time into your life. Please do us a favor and share this on your social media platform. Share it with your friends and work it into your life. We cannot wait to bless you again with another installment.